Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And I'm excited about our good buddy Gene Siciliano being back with us. Gene is a CFO you can rent. He's a chief financial officer you can rent. That's basically how I describe him, and maybe even how he describes himself. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, and that's what he does. He helps people like you and me put our best foot forward in the marketplace with our finances, with our financial direction of our companies. He's our good friend, Gene Siciliano. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Great to be back here today.
CFO for rent. What do you think? That's pretty close, isn't it?
Oh, that's my registered trademark.
It is your registered trademark, isn't it?
You've got a great memory.
Well, I didn't register it, but when I was a consultant, I called myself a vice president you could rent. I should have trademarked that, you know.
There's been a lot of people trying to use it since then, I'll bet.
Exactly, probably so. But, you know, that was one thing that whenever I told people that I was a consultant, a business consultant, they didn't, even though they understood the words, they didn't really always connect with them. But then when I said I'm a vice president you can rent, it connected every time instantaneously.
Isn't that interesting?
It's amazing how just explaining something a different way can make a difference.
That's why so many people make a living today in branding, because
exactly.
That's really what branding is.
That's exactly
finding
right.
Finding a way to tell people what you do in a way that it sticks in their minds.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that I've done all my life, really, in fact, I'm trying to remember, I think since I was a freshman in college, I've always been paid on performance. At least some, if not all, of my compensation, Gene, has been paid on performance. I've never had a job that I remember. I don't think I've ever had a job where... And of course, since I work for myself, as you know, when you work for yourself, it's all about performance, isn't it? But I never had a job in the 20-something years I was an employee. I never had a job where at least part, if not all, of my compensation wasn't based on whether I performed or not.
Were you in sales?
All the time. Well, sales and management. But
very
some,
good. You're
some
a rare
are,
bird, I think.
Some are all. So I mean, this pay for performance. Thing that you want to talk about today, which I'm glad you do want to talk about it. This is a very important concept, and of course it's easy to understand how you get salespeople to be paid on performance, and maybe some management, but how do you get other people to accept pay for performance?
And that's part of the challenge in the minds of managers everywhere, I think, and why they don't use this really powerful concept, because they don't quite know how to do it. It's not as simple and easy as paying a salesman to sell a box of soap.
It's not what people typically think of the way they want to get paid. If you're going to be a receptionist, if you're going to be an accountant, if you're going to be you're going to manage the warehouse or whatever, you know, you typically think of a salary, don't you?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, and the difficulty makes people shy away from it. And in fact, those people, other than the sales folks, are the folks that need the most clarity about what it is you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I think nothing says more clearly what you want people to do than, here's what I'm going to pay you for. It just sends that message so powerfully. And managers don't get it because they can't figure it out, and or it seems like it's too hard to do.
Well, and track. I mean, if you're going to pay for performance, and I don't know why that's so hard for me to say, pay for performance. Well, if you're going to do that, somebody has to manage the record keeping. Somebody has to track. You have to identify what to track. You have to track what you identify, and you have to hold people accountable. That's extra management.
Well, but recognize what you... I hear what you're saying, and that is what people think. But what you just said is evaluating performance. And it has nothing to do with pay. You just
right.
recited things that people ought to be doing anyway.
Right. Oh, exactly.
And all we're talking about is linking the pay to it so that your employees get the message, oh, yeah, this performance is about this much money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. So you're out. You'd like to start a revolution along these lines, wouldn't you?
I really would. You know, our most important assets are our people, and productivity is that generic word that consultants use to say we get more work out of the same number of people, which means we get more profit.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a good thing to me if I'm in business. Why wouldn't I use this fantastic concept for getting people to be more productive?
Well, and this is a really important point here, folks, is where do you start the conversation? Do you start it with the individuals and say, here's what I'm going to pay you for, or do you explain to them that this is a holistic approach by the company, and if we all work on this, we'll all make more money? And that's what I'm going to get Gene to explain to us when we come back after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Nothing can stop the Duke of Earth.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's this little ZZ Top bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, the show, and all the other things. And also, our knowledge base is askjim.biz. That's where you get Small Business Answers Now. I encourage you to check those out and use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. B-I-Z. Gene Siciliano is our guest. He's made a number of deposits on both of our websites over the years. He's a CFO for Rent. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, and we're talking about performance pay for people who typically aren't paid on performance. Salespeople, that's easy to understand. Some executive compensation plans, that's easy to understand. The accountant, the receptionist, the store clerk, whatever, a little bit harder. So, Gene, where do you start? Do you go to them and say, okay, Susie, you're in charge of the counter here, or Bill, you're the receptionist or whatever, and here's how we're going to pay you. You come up with some kind of a schedule. You talk to them individually, or do you say, okay, we have X amount of work that has to be done around here, and if I have to hire more employees, that's going to cost the company more money. But if we all pay attention to what performance that has to be done, I don't have to hire these new employees, and we can split that money among the current employees. Is that how you do it, or which way do you go?
Not exactly, Jim. I think one of the things we have to recognize whenever management tells its employees, I'm going to change the way I pay you, their first reaction is, oh, boy,
oh my.
What's he taking away now?
That's right.
So I don't think you need to speak in terms of what's in it for them as opposed to we need to avoid hiring more employees. So we talk about ways in which they can earn even more money than they're earning now. And in fact, I think you make that pay plan so it's designed that they can earn more than they're earning now if they achieve the performance levels that you want them to achieve. So the first process, and it may be a group thing to tell everybody this is what we want to do. We want to do this because we want to make more money and put some of that more money in your pocket. And here's how you can get that money into your pocket. And from that point, you have to work with them individually because each individual position in the company has things you want them to do and has a level of performance that you want them to achieve. And if you can't quantify that level of performance for purposes of compensation, how are you going to quantify it for purposes
of
evaluation?
But how do I come up with all this evaluation for all these different jobs?
How do you do it now? I mean, when a manager has the receptionist and an accountant and a human resources person working for him, how does he evaluate their performance now? He says,
well,
you're doing a good job on this thing and on this thing, and I want you to accomplish this next time,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to get these policies done, and I want you to close the books 2 days earlier. I mean, there are things that a good manager says I want you to do.
Okay, here's what I guess where I'm confused a little bit. When I think of a salesperson getting paid leverage, what we used to call leverage compensation, pay for performance, I think of that person taking less money guaranteed with more opportunity on the leverage side. So, but if you're talking about somebody in the accounting department or the warehouse or the receptionist or the truck driver or whatever, do you replace part of their guaranteed pay for a performance bonus, or do you put that on top of what they're already making?
And that's a good question, Jim, and it probably depends on how their current salary level is with the mean for that kind of an employee. If your employees are well paid, you may be able to take away a thin slice of that. But one of the things you have to remember, we got to get away from that, oh my God, what's he taking away from me now? So it has to be heavily weighted to them being able to get more than they're now.
Right. Could you do it by saying, okay, folks, in the past you've gotten 4% raises a year. This year you're not going to get a raise. That's the bad news. The good news is, though, we're going to set up a performance structure that you, so that instead of 4%, you might could earn as much as 10%.
That would be a great way to do it.
And that way you don't take anything away from them. You just don't give them something. You don't. And see, that's the way. To me, the reason I like this idea is because eventually, and this is what's happening with so many companies, Gene, you've seen it over the years as I have, and that is that you wind up with all these people who've been with you for 25 years, and if you keep raising them 4% a year, eventually you can't afford them.
And that's with all due respect to all the managers who listen to your show, that's the lazy manager's way of doing it. Just give everybody 4% a year, and then I don't have to confront anybody about how their performance is. I don't have to think so hard about what it takes to raise them to the next level. I don't have to be a manager. Just give everybody 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea of pay for performance is the opposite end of that spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Let me truly decide what I want these people to do and truly pay them for doing it. And that way you really do have to confront people. You do have to say, you didn't do the goals that I set for you,
mm-hmm.
or you got halfway there. I mean, it's a harder job for a manager, but the result is significantly improved performance, significantly improved morale, significantly improved output, and that's what the manager is supposed to produce.
Well, and see, the thing is this is a way, one of the things a company can do, and I know this is going to be some extra work, folks, because you're going to have to, and you're probably going to need some help. You may have to hire somebody like Gene to help you with this. But the thing is that what you can do is you can get your base payroll on a level where it doesn't start spiraling out of control, skyrocketing out of control. And if you do pay more money, it's because you saw more performance, more on the top line, the bottom line. Going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend Gene Siciliano. We're talking about pay for performance. Pay for performance. I can't say it three times real fast. Pay for performance at all levels of your business. Tim Till, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. That's Bobby Darin bringing us back, the late, great Bobby Darin. Gene Siciliano is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Gene, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you and find your book.
You said it earlier. It's www.cfoforrent, cforrent.com.
cfoforrent.com. Yeah, oh, there is?
There's a new book.
I don't have a copy of it.
It's an e-book.
Oh.
And it's Finance for Non-Financial Managers. And
ah.
You can find it on another of my websites, genesiciliano.com.
All right, and Siciliano is spelled with an S.
It's GeneSiciliano.com.
Siciliano, just like you think, except the S is first, the C is second. So check that out, GeneSiciliano.com and CFOForRent.com. Okay, we're talking about performance pay. This is a direction that a lot of people need to go in, Gene, because, you know, when the economy, of course, right now, the economy for a lot of folks are off. Basically, let me ask you, Gene, as you work across the country, how are you finding your clients? How are you seeing the economy to be for the people that you're talking to?
I am finding that for most of them, business is pretty good. For some of them, it has taken a turn for the worse, but it's actually pretty representative of the overall statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Things are down on average, but it's not a clear dump And some of my clients are very strong, and others are having to do things differently because this economy is not kind to them.
Well, one of the things that another thing that happened recently, Gene, that's just going to put upward pressure on wages, is last week the minimum wage went up, and it's
right.
got two more hikes to go over the next year or so, and that's going to have upward pressure on on payroll. And there's no question about it. It can't do anything but that. And so I think that minimum wage increases is going to create more and more of a need for this performance pay to become more the norm rather than the exception. What do you think?
I think that would be a great way to ease into it. You know you're getting that upward pressure. Here's an opportunity to build it into a focused pay plan. Because that's really what this is about, isn't it, Jim? It's about focusing performance in people's minds. Yes, I agree with you.
Well, see, here's the thing that irritates me is and see, I'm an opponent of raising the minimum wage, because in America, if you want to raise your wages, you can do that on your own. You don't have to have the government to do it for you. So you just hired somebody who's just been with you for 6 months, and all of a sudden they get an automatic raise because of the government, and the brand spanking new employee who got hired today is also making the same amount of money that the person was made that you hired 6 months ago. So automatically you've either got to raise both wages or you got a morale problem.
That's
so
true.
So now what you could do is make the performance pay option available to the first person you hired. In other words, the person that came in today only gets minimum wage if you're hiring at minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't. But let's say that you are. The person you hired 6 months ago keeps the minimum wage at the new rate, the new increase, but they are given a performance opportunity. What do you think about that?
I think that would be a great way to do it. I mean, when you start from a straight salary basis to a pay-for-performance basis, it's going to take some planning. And I think managers and CEOs and entrepreneurs who want to do this, earlier, ought to get some help.
Yeah.
Ought to get some help from someone who's skilled in that in their area. But by
can
all
you help,
means...
Can you help people with that if they call you, if they contact you?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And if not you, you can help them find somebody, can't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can. Because I know a lot of people that do this stuff, and I know a lot of people who travel around the country if necessary to help companies put this kind of thing in place.
Folks, if you're sitting around saying, "Okay, I've gotten my expenses as tight as I can get them, and sales are not growing as fast as I'd like for them to grow, how can I make sure that my expenses don't continue to get out of hand?" This pay for performance could be a long range strategy that could save your business, I think.
Well, you said something earlier, Jim. You said it takes money out of fixed cost.
Yep.
And puts it into variable cost.
Exactly.
What a great idea.
Yep. That's exactly right. It does. And so, folks, think about this. Hey, Gene, give us the website one more time.
CFOforRent.com.
And GeneSiciliano.com, S first, C second. Hey, thanks, Gene, for being here. Good job today.
You're welcome, Jim.
We'll see you next
here.
Time. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.